That's the wrong one. Holla ballers and a brofist to you all, where we are stressed out and rushing around because we're 20 minutes late because our Noma raid overran. But that's all good because I got myself a giant epic axe. Ooh, which is what we needed. So we're going to chop some heads off some fools later. That's right. Biss weapon for Biss guy. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, we're going to be chopping fools, taking names, doing all kinds of good stuff. And we have been had a hell of a week in Final Fantasy 15. The controversial one. The one that sucks. And I'm having a really, really amazing time with it. And I don't regret. I'm having a really good time with it. A really good time. But don't worry, because even after drama, the stream is not over. We will be joined by Mr. Crusher and someone else to dip into Enshrouded and have a great time with that after drama time. So we've still got a while to go here. It's going to be a ton of fun. I'm going to find out and give our feedback, as always. They want to know what we think of that starter experience. And we'll be dipping into that after this with some multiplayer stuff. It should be really fun. I'm excited for it. But that's not why you're here right now. As you can see, I'm rushing to get caught up. It is drama time. Oh, God. Well, we have to have this one. Where's my keyboard? Come here. Come here, Mr. Keyboard. Right. I have heard of people doing this, and it's the grossest thing in the world. Can the chat guess while I do the names? Let me do the names. What is the grossest thing that people can do? And while you're filling that in, my wonderful, wonderful live audience that's here, we need a an Edgelord guild name, jerk off while raiding, playing games, piss bottles. Ooh, close. We need two guild names, one edgy and one sounds like an add-on. taking a fist whip, then taking the epic two-hander. I use both. That is not a problem. I use both. All good. Okay, those will be our stars. It is, of course, as the name. Okay, what add-on or edgy guild name is Meat Beaters? Raiding. Raiding from the toilet. There's not even enough time. Oh, Macrobot, I like that. Macrobot and Edge of Eternity. Classic Jack here, the Edge of Eternity. Oh, don't tell me there are people here who have raided from the toilet. Like, there is never a need for that to happen. Ever. Never. Never. There's always trash in between wipes. There's always an opportunity. And when I say in between wipes, I don't mean that in the ha 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 ha. I get it. Pun sense. Literally. Literally, there's no reason to game from the toilet, okay? That's not needed. Well, if it was a heat, it doesn't matter if it's a heated toilet or whatever. Nobody needs to listen to you on the toilet. I recently had to teach my kids not to do this because they were going to the toilet and just keeping their headsets on, and I could hear them talking to their friends while having a pee. I'm like, boys, that's not okay. All right, that's not okay. He's like, well, I'm just telling him, like, we're having a conversation while I'm going to the toilet. I was like, yeah, but like, people hear you pee. It's not okay. It's not okay. All right, let's get started with today's tale. Greetings, a preacher, and a full and hearty eat a dick to your live audience. That's what it says, and it says it in capital letters. Whoever this is not a friend of our live chat. Kind of brutal. I say this not because I'm guilty, but because I can't watch the live streams. I am a certified Spotify listener. Hey. You're not bad. Do you know that so many people are listening to drama on Spotify? Spotify have reached out to us. That's right. They want to make us some sort of Spotify partner thing. Maybe. We might do it. Might not. But yes, there are so many people listening to drama on Spotify. It has been noticed by the Spotify people, which is great. In fact, I will say this. I know I don't often do this because, frankly, you don't deserve it. But our audience has been so cool recently that the feedback I've had, certainly from the British Heart Foundation and other places, are like, we had one of the best chats, if not the best, for our stuff. So that was down to you guys. That's all you're getting. That's all you're getting. You're getting no more than that. John Spotify here. Mike, I have a handful of short stories about my rise from being turbo shit to decent. And it culminates in the titular toilet event. And I call it event. Oh, God. I hope you and the audience enjoy my guild's brief and very rocky history. Okay. My friends, I started playing World of Warcraft in 8.2. When the hell was that? What's 8? Which expansion was 8? I don't know. BFA. Ooh. Ow. Unlucky. Ooh. Goddamn. Sorry you missed out on the really, really good one. Unlucky. I started playing Watch 8.2. Oh, it's the Eternal. Oh, you joined during Benthic Pearls. Well, you were new, so you wouldn't have experienced the Benthic power, the torment that was the Benthic Pearls. I was dragged in by my IRL friends after years of calling it the dumb boomer game I can't believe people still play. I mean, yeah, but it is good. And honestly, it took me a while to get it, as in understand why people were playing this game. I made myself the only character that looked half tolerable, a blood elf hunter. Oh. It's a bad choice to start with. because my friends were all hoardies and they told me that MM Hunter is literally brain dead easy. Alright, I mean, I played a hunter shortly after that, so whatever. I actually wanted to play a paladin, but they advised me against melee because in their minds, melee was really hard to play. It's true. Us melee giga chads understand real difficulty, right? While these ranged pussies hang out at the side, I don't see no mechgineer thermoplug smashing you in the face with a sprocket. I saw my druid friend, my Windfury brother, die moments ago because he was a melee king. Standing there, taking it like an absolute champion, right? You know what I mean? At this point, okay. And I would be too bad at the game to survive playing melee. Mike, I didn't even reach max level until a week before 8.3. That's okay. That's all right. That's fine. At which point, the promised friend-based raid team that was supposed to happen and the reason I started playing fell apart. By 8.3, most of the friends who had got me to play World of Warcraft were now playing other games. Classic. I mean, that is classic. That is absolutely classic. That is a very normal thing to happen. But by this point, I had become addicted. Oh, welcome. Welcome. I had done LFR Eternal Palace, and that was the limit of my endgame experience. That's all right. That's okay. That's nothing wrong with that. I leveled my pally to 120, what felt like half the time it had taken on my hunter. Oh, you re-rolled. Oh, sweet. I re-rolled and moved over to the Alliance. Oh, you were doing so well. Shit. You were doing really, really well. And then you went Alliance in BFA. And decided it was time for high-level content. I'd done a fair number of low-level dungeons. Excuse me. Sorry, I'm not well. I've developed a cold overnight and it sucks. I did a fair number of low-level dungeons with terrible tanks. And so as soon as I could, I decided I would become a tank myself. Okay. I did this because of my history with gaming. I knew that when shit went wrong, I could reliably blame myself and not the randoms. That's fair. The peaks of my achievements during the Battle for Azeroth were tanking normal Nyalotha up to Raden. I completed a +8 Mechagon. Alright. And I'll be honest, after completing that workshop key, I thought I was the fucking tits. All other tanks ever would bow before my awesomeness and be judged that I had just started the game and was already passing what people were moaning about on the MMO Champion forums. Yeah. Riding those highs, I was ready to go hardcore in Shadowlands. This is like a horror story. You're riding the highest of highs. You're riding Aladdin's fucking carpet right into the Shadowlands. You are sailing to victory. My goal, of course, was ahead of the curve. I was going to get it. Pretty much as soon as the Shadowlands came out, I joined the first guild I saw advertising, raid slots for Heroic. With the power of hindsight, I can say with 100% certainty that Edge of Eternity was a cesspool guild. They had over 200 members and not one, not two, but three raid teams. Raid Team 1, who had called themselves Alpha 1, was made up of Edge of Eternity's best and brightest. The Guildmaster, his cronies, and the rest of their previous Mythic raid team made up Alpha 1. I don't know the full details, but I'd note that they had raided Mythic Nyalotha, but none of their members had Cutting Edge, nor did they have 20 players. Raid Team 2, known as Red Fox... Alpha 1 and Red Fox. Okay. Are we a Star Wars team? Is that what we're doing? Red Fox was headed by the guildies that were benched from the Cutting Edge Mythic team during Nyalotha Progress, as well as a lot of randoms who had been recruited when Shadowlands launched. Raid Team 3, called Delta 6. Wait, Alpha 1, Red Fox, and Delta 6. You are so cool. So cool. Like, outrageously cool. Oh, yeah. Oh, so, so good. Going dark. Delta 6 was made up of all the trials and new recruits of the guild, and was a mixture of inexperienced and experienced raiders. Okay, so maybe they're Delta 6, because if possible, they would be Raid Team 6. Maybe. I joined the guild with the express purpose of raiding Heroic, but to my dismay and disappointment, despite having three raid teams, none of them needed a tank. I was placed on their official backups list. I even had a little slot on a notepad on Discord, meaning I would only ever be offered a spot if someone didn't bother to show up in one of the raid teams. I was obviously disappointed, as you can imagine. I didn't want to roll to any other paladin specs, so I bided my time. And that time, Mike, was 5 minutes before the first raid started, the first day I was there. I got a whisper from one of the Red Fox tanks. This guy named Sun Tiger, was informing me that their tank had not shown up, and thus I was allowed to raid. I was elated. I was going to raid on my very first day in the guild, and not even with the worst team. As the raid night started, they all split off into their own little Discord channels. I timidly joined Red Fox's call. We moved into Castle Nathria. Sun Tiger, who also was the raid leader, set out a feast. I later learned that despite being promised raid consumes by the Guildmaster, Sun Tiger was paying for all of the raid team's expenses himself, because he told us that the GM considered Red Fox and Delta 6 to be backup teams and not the proper teams. That's kind of bullshit. Fuck that. I mean, fair play to Sun Tiger, but you would just say, yeah, we don't get that. A ready check went out, and then a timer. 5, 4, 3, inevitably 2, and of course, finally 1. Normal Shriekwing killed me instantly. How? How did you die to normal Shriekwing on a tank? Mike, it gets worse. I died twice to normal Shriekwing. Okay. I died once to the backsmack and then to the line of sight mechanic. Sun Tiger managed to solo the entire fight to get the kill, but my deaths were a big reality check on how good I actually was at this game. Apparently, having played through the 8.3 catch-up gear and the devastation corrupt... Oh, you are wearing too much corruption as well, aren't you? You're wearing greens and a ton of... He's got 18% Twilight Devastation corruption and all greens. Oof. Oof. Still, Twilight Dev's good shit. Twilight Dev is fun stuff, you know? Apparently, playing through all that catch-up gear, I had actually over-geared all the content I'd done. So, now entering Nathria... Oh, so that's how he'd done 8. Oh, I see. No, 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 he says, apparently after playing through 8.3 catch-up gear with 18% Twilight Dev. So, our boy starts actually playing endgame in 0.3 of BFA and gets decked out in stupid corruption, free catch-up gear, all the nonsense you get in 0.3, and just devastates everything in his path. Now we're in Shadowlands, and he's wearing Dungeon Blues and a Dream is what he's wearing, and it's just not quite working out as it had done in the past. Unlucky for him. The bosses here didn't really seem to have respect for my paladin and my +8 Mechagon. Mike, this team wiped for an hour on Huntsman. Oh no. And then ended the night on two pulls of Hungering Destroyer. Now, I can already hear you and the live audience giggling. No, you sound like... To be fair... Clearly it's not a big deal for this raid team, or they would have removed you, right? They would have found a pug or something. So, it sounds like you're in exactly where you need to be. You need to do, clearly, from this story... You need to do normal mode progression. That's fine. Everybody starts somewhere. It's totally fine. So it sounds like you're exactly where you need to be, where you can make these kind of mistakes and not just be kicked from the group immediately, right? That's fine. Everybody starts somewhere and there are normal progression guilds. This is all good. This is totally fine. Our author continues. I know normal progression and wiping on normal bosses in general is pretty amusing, but I need you to understand something, Mike. I can look back now, and I can tell you, these were the most absolute, unfiltered, unadulterated, dog-fucking-shit WoW players that had come together you can ever imagine. We came off killing two normal bosses, feeling amazing. Don't feel bad, this is fine. Everybody has their prog somewhere. This is great, you felt good about it? It's awesome. You got some kills on your first raid night, that's great. Everyone, minus one or two players who were clearly, and I mean blatantly too good to be in this group, had a really fun time. It was only the first night, but the whole team was having fun, laughing, joking, bants, and that attitude, that pure energy of having fun playing together in a group was what made me decide I need to become better. Not just better, the best. I needed to learn how this fucking game worked. It was time to engage degeneracy mode. I had been... Some of my faults you guys might be interested to learn. I was, of course, not keybound. I would click my Shield of the Righteous, and I would click my Consecration. As a protection paladin... a prop paladin, click casting Seal of the Righteous and fucking Consecration. That's who I was. I look back now at those times now and wonder how the fuck they did not kick me during Shriekwing. I sat in front of a target dummy in Elysian Hold after that raid night, binding my keys, practicing my rotation until I could push it into the muscles of my fingers. I would memorize where all my buttons were without looking at my keyboard or my hotbars. I stayed up till 3 a.m. But I sunk into sleep that night, satisfied that I had increased my power as a player. I had become something greater than I was just a few hours ago. Let's go forward. Eventually, our team reaches Heroic. Heroic Castle Nathria. We were spending, on average, a night and a half, about 3.5 hours... per boss. Okay, on progress. Alright, cool. At some point during Heroic Hungering Destroyer, One of two of our hunters just left the raid mid-pull. I'm not joking you. In the middle of the pull, they just left the raid group, Hearthstoned, and went offline. A week later, I was introduced to WoW drama. Sun Tiger posted in the Discord a 3-paragraph letter from the player explaining in excruciating detail how Sun Tiger was a dogshit raid leader, a horrible person IRL, and had an unfathomably small dick. To this day, if you mention the username of that player, Sun Tiger sighs and mutters obscenities under his breath about how much of a dick that guy was. Much to his constant joy and schadenfreude, however, the player in question never ever managed to get curve, so fuck him, that noob. I still try and armory him to this day to see if he's made any meaningful raid progress. Okay. A few weeks later, about an hour before Reclear started, the GM of Edge of Eternity announced on Discord that Alpha 1 is looking for members. And as it is the primary raid team, Alpha 1 will begin scouting members of the other raid teams of the guild to find people with, in his opinion, had mythic raider potential. Why don't you go fuck yourself? Why don't you do that? What this meant in reality was that he was going to now take the spot of someone in our raids or join the raid if there was room in Flex and watch from the sidelines to see how people performed. If you were selected, you may get the golden ticket to rise to Alpha 1. If only there was a way. Like, Discord should add a feature so you can watch the raid of somebody else. That would be cool, wouldn't it? Imagine if somebody else was playing a game, but you could watch it without making it inevitably harder on the other team. That could be done. They should come up with a way of doing that. Maybe. The reason was that Alpha 1 needed better players because they were unable to kill heroic Denathrius. We recleared as normal up to Kel'thas, where we got stuck reclearing for one reason or another. Hey, we all have a bad raid. We had a weak Noma raid earlier. It happens. Needless to say, the GM wasn't impressed with the performance of Red Fox. However, after a countdown where every day until then, the GM did countdown till release day. For example, on Wednesday, it would say 5 days to go. On Thursday, it would be 4 days to go. The GM posted the official Edge of Eternity Alpha 1 game roster mythic progression team. Shockingly, it was all of the original Alpha 1 members, including himself and his real-life friends. But they had taken two players from Delta 6 and one from ours, a player named Izzy. Izzy is a Quebecy Frenchman. With the longest Ellie Sharman penis known to God and man. He was already good when we first started playing, but he had pushed himself extra hard to min-max the crap out of Ellie Sharman. He didn't mind being way better than everyone else and enjoyed the atmosphere that existed in Red Fox. He was happy hanging out and being helpful, but definitely he was way too good for our group. So, of course, the GM posts the official list. Raid Team 2, Red Fox, was dejected. Izzy was our best player. Izzy was our good friend. And he was being asked to abandon us to join the Mythic team. He was joining those assholes who promised us raid consumes but never provided them. And then, to my absolute shit-eating glee and happiness, Izzy was the first to reply to the official roster and just said, "Is this a mistake?" I'm not raiding with you guys. I'm not raiding with you guys. Get absolutely shit on. Yeah, pure Giga Chad move. What? No, I'm not doing that. It turned out that our glorious and heroic GM had taken all three players from the other two raid teams without even bothering to ask them if they wanted to join. He just assumed because Alpha 1 was the furthest in progress that they would just join. He had just... Now they were Mythic Raiders. And it turned out they didn't want to be Mythic Raiders. The guild officership privately started to DM Izzy, telling him that A, he shouldn't be embarrassing the officers publicly, and B, he should shut up and join the Mythic team because they're considerably better, and therefore he would be wasting his time to stay with Red Fox. Izzy rose above. He was disgusted by this attitude, and he brought it up immediately to Red Fox's meeting on raid night. We, of course, did the inevitable on drama time. As much and as true as it is that the sun will rise tomorrow and the moon in the evening, we decide to fuck the guild off and make our own team. Yeah, there it is. Solution sorted. Solution sorted. At this point, it had been literally 3 months since we started raiding together, and all of our loyalty landed with Sun Tiger. He had been the one who had led us to where we were. He had been the one providing literally all the consumables for the entire team out of his own pocket. And he had been the one to deal with Edge of Eternity's internal politics on our behalf. Nobody, not one member of Red Fox, even so much as questioned the suggestion of starting our own guild. And therefore, Macro Bot was born. To my knowledge, Edge of Eternity disbanded within a month of us leaving. It turns out that Delta 6 had a pretty similar response to us. Their players had not been contacted. Losing two players would have ruined their raid team. And the two players they wanted to poach didn't want to leave. The GM and pals all faction swapped over to Horde because they claimed Alliance was full of crybabies. And decided to move to the Illidan server with hardcore raiding in mind. And hoping, at least the rumor says, that their intent was to get so good they would join Liquid. Mike, I wish them well, if they would have ever killed heroic Denathrius. Extremely sorry, my friends. My nose was completely full. Heroic Denathrius, of course, as many of you know, was a tough cookie. An incredible fight. I loved it. Definitely my favorite of all the raids I've ever done. But God, what a piece of douche. We were balls deep into P2 one night when, about 2.5 hours into our usual 3-hour raid night, one of our healers died to lines going across the floor. His name was Ryu, and he was a resto druid. My boy had only been with us since Sludge Fist, so he was new and hadn't been in the previous guild, Edge of Eternity. Dying to lines was nothing unusual for our players, so we rezzed him and just kept going. Then he died to the portals. The lack of healing caused a wipe, but whatever. Dust it off. It's hardly the first wipe our teams ever have. Let's go again. Honestly, mate, this was like 70 wipes into Denathrius. It was nothing. Nothing to get stressed about. But when he died in P1, we started asking questions. We were too shit at the game to make the DPS check if anybody died early in phase 1. So we tended to reset if anybody died. We asked Ryu, are you okay? Because it wasn't really like him to just floor tank over and over again, but this is what he'd been doing. He turned on his mic. Confirmed he was indeed okay. He just had some input lag. Is your internet dying, he asked? No. I'm just playing using my phone's connection right now. My friends, this is when we all heard the sound that everybody here has heard. The telltale sound of something plopping into water from approximately 20 centimeters away. And that's when the yelling started. Apparently, Ryu had some system in place where he could play remotely from his mobile phone. Oh my god. Albeit, it was over a Wi-Fi connection which would cause input lag. He declared confused at why we would be mad at this, that this system that he had come up with was actually excellent because it allowed him to continue raiding from the toilet without making the rest of us take a break. I want to stress again to everybody listening to this, this wasn't some Hell March raiding guild. We were 3 hours a night, two nights a week. We had a 10-minute break every hour and a half. There is absolutely no way you could not fit in a toilet break so badly that you had to go in the middle of the raid to take a dump. But even if that had to happen infrequently, it's fine. We were happy to wait 5 minutes for you to go to the toilet and wash your hands. Also, at this point, it had to have been at least 15 minutes since he started dying in P2. So Ryu had to have been on the toilet for at least that long. I swear to you all, Ryu didn't understand our problem. He was entirely unapologetic and actually got hostile towards the people complaining because he was being considerate in not making us wait for him. There was a pause on comms. A brief moment of, what do we do here? The GM and the officers couldn't come up with an answer and decided, let's deal with this later, but let's definitely deal with it at some point. The very next raid night, my friends. We're making decent prog. We've seen phase 3. And gotten to the first Denathrius pizza slices. People were getting hype. We were going to get curve. We're feeling good. Vibes were flowing. Then after a particularly good try, Ryu announced on Discord that that was fun, but he needs to go to bed now. And then left the raid. Well, that was good. Anyway, I'm going to go to bed now. I told you Ryu was one of our healers. And he just left. 45 minutes were left of the raid. Sun Tiger and the rest of the raid team were pretty pissed. We were doing really well. And we can't continue down a healer without just pugging someone. Nobody wanted to start pugging with like half an hour or something left in the night from when we get somebody. Sun Tiger knew that as leader, it now fell to him to deal with this absurdity. He decided to send him a Discord DM. It was a pretty pointed message where he explained that, Ryu, when you join a raid team and we schedule a time for everybody from all over the world to be together at a certain time, you're making a commitment to a team. Other people are relying on you being there, and you are relying on them being there. It's not very nice or respectful to just leave in the middle of the time because you feel a little sleepy. Ryu called us elitist assholes. His response said that everything that Sun Tiger had typed to him was complete bullshit. And after all, if he's sleepy, he should be able to go to bed, and it's wrong of the raid team to make him suffer. And that this was targeted harassment after the toilet incident where he had gone out of his way to make everybody feel like their time wasn't wasted. As you can imagine, Mike, there was a very swift officers' meeting. He was to find a different guild. His main was kicked. And Macrobot would be free of his toilet shenanigans for now. However, the very next day, I was hanging out in Legion's Dalaran between the Balance of Power quests when I noticed a string of username has come online on guild message. Unbeknownst to me, Ryu had brought 6 of his alts into the guild. He was logging on all of them to check the Guild Vault permissions. Most of them had alt status, and so couldn't do much but take battle pets, which he did. He took all of our banked battle pets. Why are you putting battle pets in the guild bank? For what possible reason are you using the guild bank for battle pets? Never mind. Never mind. Not the battle pets. Please stop. No. But one of them was actually promoted to raider alt status, which is an officer I knew could withdraw up to 6 stacks from the materials and consumables tabs of the guild bank. I dived at my keyboard and G-kicked that alt and the others. The only message Ryu sent me following this was, fuck you in the pink. I assume that since I was the only officer at the time, he knew it was me who had put a halt to his little angry heist. To be honest, I never really disliked him. He seemed like a nice enough guy. He just didn't quite grasp teamwork, or that things he did might affect other human beings. I hope he's doing well, honestly, and he's learnt the value of other people's time. But it does bring me to the end of our little stories here. We did get ahead of the curve in Nathria, and we continue raiding Heroic to this very day. We're obviously much better at the game now. We got Heroic Farrakh down in just a couple of weeks. For my part, I got Keystone Hero for the first time last season and plan on going big hardcore into M+ this season. Well, make sure you check out that Echo shenanigans they did the last MDI, or the current MDI, I should say. It was kind of ingenious what the guys came up with. Most of the players from our original raid team are still playing together. Those that don't still chill in our Discord and shoot the shit when they're playing. I can honestly say I fucking adore my guild. I know we'll continue crushing it for years to come. And my sincere thanks to the reader and the listeners. I had a blast just writing this out and remembering what we got up to. Good luck and Godspeed, all of you. Good luck. Okay. I've got to fit a short one in because we started late. If this is about me, I'm going to be pissed. I swear to you, Bex, if this is about me... This has a title that's potentially Bex-scribed. I'm just saying, I haven't done anything bad this week at all. We'll see. Oh, Dantius. Not, sorry, I'm getting your name wrong. That's my apologies. Make sure. Our wonderful website supporters there. Okay. Let's see. Preacher! Good day to you from a person hailing from SEA. Where's SEA? Southeast Asia, yeah? This tale I'm writing to you is from a game of space magic and broken morality. Okay. It's not me then. Preacher, today I'm an adventurer that resides in Eorzea, but that is not where I grew up and that is not where I cut my fangs. I am a guardian, one of the lost guardians that roamed the world of Destiny 2. After I cleared and farmed the latest Savage and Ultimate, I decided to go back to Destiny for some nostalgia and because my old clanmates needed some help for a reprised raid. I, of course, regretted this. I was planning to take it easy after the gruesome DSR prog. Hey, grats on DSR that I did, but didn't manage to... Oh, never mind. That I did, but I didn't manage to get because I had to grind 200 worth of light level. I would rather have just joined a prog group for top instead, but I digress. Aww. I'm not sure if that line reads as I didn't get it, but it sounds like you didn't get it. As I was catching up with my old clanmates, a certain story cropped up. One of the reasons why I actually left Destiny 2 entirely. A tale of a man called Dantius. And oh, the horror that this one man ravaged upon my clan. Only takes one. Only takes one. Let me give you some backstory, my friends. I was one of the co-founders of the clan, just because I was one of the first people that joined. The clan doesn't have a policy particularly, and the leader and the officers lean more towards just having fun, make friends, don't be an arsehole, the usual stuff. I like to believe that because of this rule, people join our clan, make it a place to hang out, make some new friends. I don't really do much on managing the clan like any proper officer would, but I try to contribute in guiding newbies to the game and any blueberries that want to experience raids. At the peak of our clan, though, a couple of months before the COVID breakout is when I first noticed Dancius, as he joined one of my newbie for the raid group that I would organize once a week. This guy's decent. Cheery, cool to talk to, and even noticed us. And we noticed he's a streamer and wanted to ask to stream the raid. It was his first time raid... Is this me? No, I didn't join a group like this. I'm so wary that this might be me. It was his first time raiding in Destiny 2 and to stream his gameplay. Now, for this kind of raid group, I would ask the newbies to try and figure out how you should do an encounter after I explain the encounter mechanic. My way of letting them feel like they've contributed instead of just getting spoon-fed on what they should do, unlike others that would just tell them, just stand there, look good, and I'll deal with it. Most of the time, they would just give up. And this is the extent of my interaction with him, as he would camp the PvP to try and get one of the game's big weapons. Let's go to the height of COVID, as we all remember. Our clan leader was on hiatus because he played the game from a net cafe and they closed due to COVID. Oh, that's some Greek problems right there. Sorry, lads. Guild cancelled. The leader plays for an air cafe and COVID's closed it down. That's rough. No gaming. Hasn't got his own PC. That's full Greece. The poor kid didn't own his own PC and was in the middle of saving for one, but his savings got consumed, got put on hold due to COVID as well. I didn't see the signs at first and never would have thought that a wholesome clan, a friendly, welcoming clan that's been running smoothly for over 12 months, would suddenly get poisoned. It was around the release of The Lightfall, if I'm not mistaken, which you have played, Mike, and I know you hate it. Yes, I do. I'm not that keen on the new Bungie development plan, and Lightfall second season was the last straw. Thus, I started to drift from the game and discovered Final Fantasy XIV. But I still kept the weekly raid going as a kindness to the team. Behind the scenes, though, our beloved Dancius has been planting a suggestion in our leader's head to actually give the clan of almost 500 people over to him when he couldn't play. Dancius has been DMing our leader for quite some time, it seems. I don't really know the details of the conversation, but the result is our clan made a doc post in the Discord apologizing for not giving the right and due attention to our clan. I was shocked when I read the document. Double so when he wrote that he's passing the clan over to Dancius to give it the attention it deserves. I didn't think much of it because I didn't know what he did, and who would have predicted this would have been the downfall of the entire thing. Dancius took charge and immediately made his first mistake. He decided to start kicking out members because they asked another clan to join their raid team because nobody in our clan was available at the time. His justification on kicking these people was, "These are the kind of people who bring shame to our clan for letting other clans know that we can't fill our own groups." Yeah, that's what it is. That's the message, right? You know when one of your friends from a different guild or whatever says, "Hey, dude, you want to come and join and raid?" You're like, "I can't." That would bring shame. That would bring shame. And I can't bring shame on my team by playing with other people. The people who got kicked had asked, and apparently 4 days earlier before the raid time, as I was told, I was already far gone into 14 that I didn't really give a fuck. And I thought the other officers could handle it. Apparently, he had established his clique, and the others couldn't do anything. Now, I'm not one to care about PvP, as I'm actually a cultured human being. And I still stand that Bungie should just delete PvP from Destiny 2, but there's a way that one can win trade in Destiny 2 PvP. And I'm not going to shame people, as I have done this, to get two of the most broken weapons in the game. I got the Recluse and Mountaintop. But this guy made a reason for me to actually detest him for win trading in Destiny 2. There is one sub-mode in D2 PvP that holds higher prestige among the PvPers called Trials. Now, many of you may not know what it is, but you need to buy a card to join this mode, and people are locked into 7 rounds of matches after they join in. There are other details on it, but the important point is if you win 7 times in a row without losing, you'll be brought to a location called the Lighthouse, where you would receive an exclusive reward that you can only get by opening the treasure chest there. So, of course, win trading exists for collectors and whatnot. He and his clique started running a carry service for this mode with the win trading tech. He would charge people for compensation for something that people in LFG Discord are doing for free. Matchmaking in Destiny 2 PvP back then used a peer-to-peer system. So if you lived close to each other and with a little bit of tampering to your router, it would guarantee almost that you would get the queue. One time, he broke his router. And the plan he came up to get a replacement was asking for the members of the clan to donate a router to him in real life. He said that our clan, due to his prestige, was guaranteeing people weapons and charging for it because our service was so good. And if any disruption was to happen to our regular carry service, then it would bring shame upon the entire clan. And therefore, because he couldn't afford a new router, the clan should band together to pay for it. In his words, sponsor the router replacement so that shame would not be brought upon them. Shockingly, this didn't work. People were so confused that he was asking for IRL money from them in Destiny 2 that the clan started to fall apart rather rapidly. It was in 2 hours after this post going up that I noticed that the member list started to drop considerably, because apparently he also started DMing people that he thought, in his words, were rich IRL. These rich people, who apparently had decent armors and paint jobs, were the people he targeted the most and the first to leave. And of course, their friends went with him. He didn't seem to get any money. So then he made another post declaring that because they hadn't sponsored his router replacement, that they were bringing even more shame, that they wouldn't respect their clan leader enough. Now, Preacher, I'm not a saint, and I don't have the motivation to confirm everything I heard here, but I trust in my boys as the messages started flying my way that this guy was harassing them for router money, and his wife apparently found out that he was begging in Destiny 2 and left him instead of getting a job. Thanks for reading the story. You end there? Well, wait. His wife left him for begging for money in Destiny 2. The end smile. The end smile is what, I mean, to be fair, if Emma found out that I was like begging for IRL money on the streets of Orgrimmar or the streets of Limsa, then I can pretty much guarantee that she'd be like, maybe I've made a mistake. I was pissing myself. That's where he ends it, right there. Holy shit. Oh my God, we've got a story from FF11. We've got a story from FF11. I didn't see that. Next week. FF11 next week. I've got to team up with the boys. We're going into Enshrouded. We're doing it. Next week.